are dismissed and begin to make your way down to the front and downstairs. It's good to see you. We're glad that you're here. We know that it's cold outside and a little bit of blustery snow in the air. But nonetheless, we're glad that you decided to come out this morning and be a part of our service. We thank the praise and worship team for beginning a wonderful start to our worship services. And we just appreciate the work and the time and the effort they put into preparing our hearts for worship. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Christ and some of the things that He does for us. And we're going to continue on in a similar theme over the next few weeks. We've talked about how that Christ is a great reconciler. We talked last week about how He is a great redeemer. And this morning I want to talk about how that Christ is a great eye-opener. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. I know this is a kind of a larger grouping of scriptures. I still would ask if you can and will, if you would stand with us as we read His Word. We give honor and reverence to the reading of it. If you cannot stand for that length of scripture, I certainly do understand. But if you can, the Word of God says it this way. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing Him. And He says to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered Him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And He says to them, "What things?" And they said to Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, "A man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered Him up to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find His body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that He was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but Him they did not see. And He said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning of Himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if He were going further. But they urged Him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So He went in to stay with them. When He was at the table with them, He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and He has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how He was known to them in the breaking of the bread." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the blessing of today, Lord. Father, we thank You for the gifts of life. We thank You for the gifts of grace and mercy. Lord, we just thank You for wisdom and knowledge that You bestow and impart upon us, Lord. And as we're going to see and learn about this morning, Lord, how that You open up our eyes to amazing and to beautiful things. Lord, Father, I know that sometimes it seems we may go about this life walking from day to day, ignoring all of the beauty, ignoring all of the wonderful things that You place in front of us. And Lord Father, I pray that we would see this morning that You truly are an eye-opener. Lord, I pray that not only would we learn about Your ability to open up hearts and minds and eyes this morning, but Lord, I pray that if there is somebody here who's never had that experience, never had their eyes truly open spiritually, that Lord Father, before it's everlasting too late, Father, I pray that they would trust in You and in You alone and be saved. Lord Father, maybe there's a brother or sister in Christ who struggles in their journey, who struggles in their walk. Lord Father, maybe they just need a rekindling of the relationship with You. And then Lord Father, I pray that You touch and be with them this morning, Father, that Your Spirit would lead them to that renewal. Lord Father, I would ask this morning that You just use me but as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord Father, I pray that You but preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. Lord, I pray for the leadership of Your Spirit this morning, that Your Holy Spirit would just come and take hold of the rest of this service as it already has this morning. Lord, I ask that Your will and Your will alone be done. So, Father, we give it all to You here this morning. It's in Your holy and precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Christ truly is a Redeemer. He truly is a great reconciler. And here in these verses of Scripture, we see how He is a great eye-opener. Many of you have probably read this story before, maybe not thought a lot about it. It's probably one of my favorite stories out of the book of Luke. This walk to Emmaus. How one of the disciples, the lesser known of the disciples, a man who probably came to believe in Christ during Christ's public ministry, a man who probably had heard Him speak at some point in time, and the other man who was in the company of Silophus. We don't even really know his name or who he is, but we know that he's there. We know that he is a believer to some extent, and as they walk on this journey, Christ comes to them, concealing His identity for a purpose, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But Christ being concealed in His identity, He walks with them and He talks with them and He kind of shares about the life events that have occurred, and He kind of wants to hear their version of the story as to who He is and what has transpired with His death and ultimately with His resurrection. And we see how that these men recount nearing the end of the verses of Scripture that we read, how that Christ opened their eyes to the truth of the Scripture. Christ really is a great eye-opener. Christ has the ability to change hearts and to change minds and to change lives, just as He did with these men here. But we've got to make the conscious decision as to whether or not we will see and embrace Christ for who He is, for what He is, and for what He has to say. Amen? You know, we want to make Christ what we want Him to be. We want to make the church what we want it to be. And a lot of times we put God and Christ and church and all this inside of a box. We put all of those things into a comfort zone, making it exactly what we want it to be, rather than embracing the truth of what it really is. But I want you to know that Christ has the ability to be an eye-opener for you. He has the ability to change hearts, minds, and attitudes. This morning, one of the first things that I want us to see here is this. In this journey to Emmaus, before Christ opened their eyes, I want you to know that Jesus sought these men out. Notice this. Jesus sought these two men out. They were not the greatest of the disciples. They obviously were not of the original 12 disciples or of the 11 who were still left. But these were two men, as I had said, who probably came to believe during the public ministry of Christ, either through directly hearing the teachings of Christ or maybe through some of the works of the disciples or just having heard of the miracles in which Christ did in the areas in which they lived and came from. These men had come to hear about Christ, and they had come to believe, and they were amongst the group of followers. And I think it's interesting to note that these two men who were believers and were followers, who said they knew Christ, but did they really know Christ? I think that's a wonderful question, is it not? I think we are a lot of times that way as Christian believers and as Christian followers. We say we know Christ, and we may very well. We may say that we know what He's done, and we may very well. But I'm not asking you, do you just know about Christ? Do you just know what He's done? But I'm asking you, do you really know Christ? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Is He the God of your life? Is He that supreme authority in your home? You know, it's easy to say that we know, but do we really know? We see that Christ sought after these two men. Even though they were not great leaders in the church, even though they were just but simple followers and some of the earliest of disciples, Jesus sought after them. We see here in the story how that as Christ sought them, that at first He did not want them to recognize Him. I think that it's interesting that several different occasions throughout Christ's ministry, Christ ministered and shared and even gave some element of prophecy about the foretelling of His death and His life and His ministry without giving full details unto the disciples as to who He was. And Christ had a purpose for that. You know, and part of that purpose was waiting for the disciples to really be mature enough spiritually for them to embrace Him truly as the Son of God, as the Savior, as the Messiah. They believed Him to be a great prophet and a great teacher, but in due time, Christ would express to them small bits about who He was and His life and His ministry, ultimately leading up to that point when Christ would share with them who in all truth and in all reality that He really was. So here, it doesn't surprise me that we see yet another example of Christ walking and talking among believers, but not revealing Himself as He truly was. And He doesn't do this to trick them. He doesn't do this to be deceptive. We know that Christ is certainly none of those things. But we see that He does this in order for Him to be able to hear what these men are saying about Him, what they truly believe, what their real attitude really is. And I ask you this, if Christ came among you today, if Christ came to walk and be a part of your life, and He was unrecognizable to you, and He asked you about what do you think about this Christ, what do you think about this Jesus, what would your response be? How opened are your eyes really to the truth of who that Christ is? What would your response be? The response of these two men was that Christ had been delivered up to be crucified by our leaders, as they said. They talked about His death. They talked about Him being placed in a tomb. And they even shared the story and knew enough about the fact that we know that they didn't mention them by name, but we know that Mary Magdalene and company have now gone to the tomb of Christ and they know that He is risen. They know that He is no longer in the tomb, and they share some of the disparagedness of not knowing with the certainty as to where that Christ was. Jesus sought these men out, and even though that He didn't share with them in the initial as to who that He really was, I ask you, if Christ did the same to you today, what would your response be about who He was, what He can do, and where He reigns in your life? Does Christ really reign supreme? Is He really number one? What place does He take in your heart, in your home, and in your life? We see that these men, as they share in their story, as Christ interacts with them, one of the next things we begin to see is that the events did not happen as they fully expected. You know, they shared with them about how that Christ had died, He'd been placed in a tomb, and now He's risen again and His body is not there in the tomb, and they're disparaged by the fact that His body isn't there. Things had not transpired exactly as they expected or exactly as they wanted. We've talked about this several different times over the Christmas holiday season in that series of messages, how we talked about that Christ was not the Savior that most people wanted in that day and time. They wanted a great political leader, a man who could come and overthrow the rule of Rome. Christ was totally different, and things were different than they planned and or expected. I've come to learn, as I get older, as I grow in my relationship with Christ, that it's not always a bad thing that things do not go as planned. Amen? I know how easy it is to get discouraged when things do not go as we want them to. You may have been in a situation where you thought out things and you planned out things and you put plans into actions and then things just fall apart like a cheap suit. Anybody ever been there, done that? Yes, we all have. We've all experienced those. And in the midst and in the moment of everything happening as it is, it can be so discouraging that we put all the time, the effort, the thoughts, and the ability into wanting things to go the way that we felt like or thought that it needed to go, the way that we had planned for it to go. And then the total opposite of everything has happened. And we get so discouraged by that. As I get older, I find that there are moments and seasons in my life where God has changed things from what I wanted them to be into what He wanted it to be, and it always worked out so much better. And I can tell you that right now I'm going through a season in my life where I'm beginning to see some things unfolding to where that it really is God's will that things did not happen as I wanted them to happen just even but a few years ago. And it's encouraging to see things like that happen. And these men would have their eyes opened to the fact that Christ, changing everything, changing the perspective of what a Messiah was supposed to be, changing the perspective of what His ministry and His life would be about, changing even the perspective of His death, burial, and resurrection. He changed everything for the better. Amen? And Christ sought these men out that they could see truly that He had changed these things for the better. One of the other things that becomes very apparent about these men is they lacked in faith. I think that's another reason why Christ sought these men out. He sought them out in order to share, not just to learn from them what they thought and what they felt in their perspective. He didn't seek them out just so that they could have their eyes open to a better understanding about why He changed everything. But I believe that Christ sought these men out because they lacked in faith. They were discouraged. I don't know about you, but I have had moments and seasons in my life where my faith wasn't where it needed to be and it wasn't what it should be. I believe in those moments that God will seek us out. Amen. And God has a great desire to open up our eyes to help us see and understand that our faith needs to improve, that our faith needs to be better, and that our faith and our trust should be placed in Him and in Him alone. So as Christ gathered the news, as He heard what these men had to say, as He learned that they had little faith, the second thing that I want you to see about Christ in this interaction is that Jesus opened their eyes. Amen? He said, "You have such little faith about Me and who I am." And Christ then began to share with them. It says in verse 27 of the Scripture that we read, He says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He, speaking of Christ, interpreted to them in all of the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." We don't know exactly what verses of Scripture that Jesus quoted to these men from the Old Testament reference of Scripture, but we know that Jesus, it says here, according to the words of Moses, interpreted to them all of the Scriptures, the things concerning Him. He shared with these men and opened their eyes to who they really were. So what did He tell them? Maybe He shared with them in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. He might have said this. He might have said, "The Lord your God will rise up from you a prophet like Me from among you, from your brothers. It is to Him you shall listen." Or maybe Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He might have said, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. Maybe He said, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as from one whom men hide their faces, He was despised and esteemed Him not." The same chapter, a later verse, verse 7, says it this way. Maybe Christ shared with them that He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. This isn't all of the verses of Scripture that the prophets or even Moses referenced to about Christ. This is but a few. This is just but a few of the great highlights as to who Christ was. But I believe that Christ, as they made this journey, as they made this walk, probably over a series of maybe even hours, He expressed to them and He shared with them and He opened their eyes to the truth of who He really was.
And I ask you, have you opened your eyes to the truth of who that Christ really is? The Son and the Savior of the world. The Messiah. Emmanuel. The one who came to give His life that you and I might go free. Have you opened up your eyes to the fact that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Have you opened up your eyes to the fact that He reigns supreme on the throne? Have you opened up your eyes to the fact that He has the ability to change your heart and to change your life for the better? Maybe you never have. Maybe you've never really looked at it like that. You've always known about it. You've always heard about it. But you've never really opened your eyes to the truth and the reality of who Christ really is. Maybe you've never opened up your eyes and your heart to call Him Lord and Savior. I don't want you just to know who Jesus is. I want you to know who Jesus is. Amen. I want you, as one of my preachers used to say when I was a kid growing up, I want you to know that you know. Amen? I want you to know that you know. What's that mean? That means that you know in your heart, without a doubt, without any question, that He is the Son of God. That He is the Savior of the world. That He came and He gave His heart and His life for you. That if you believe and trust in Him, that you might go free. Christ, even in His public ministry, even in His walk, He shared with His disciples early on, referencing back to what God had said through His Word, through the prophets in the Old Testament about who He was. In Luke chapter 16, verse 31, He says it this way. And He says to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." John chapter 1 verse 45, He says, "Philip found Nathanael and says to him, 'We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" In John chapter 5 verse 46, He says, "For if you believe Moses, you will believe Me, for he wrote of Me." Even before Christ came, there was a foretelling, some eye-opening Scripture sent to God's people that would help them see and to help them know and to help them understand. Now, why else were those Scriptures sent? I believe for this purpose right here. So that Christ in His life and in His ministry could stand up and say, "Moses and the prophets foretold of Me." He was able to back up who He was by His Father's Word. Amen? He was able to open up hearts and minds and eyes with the truth of the Scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. He says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Christ, as He journeyed with these men, He shared. He shared truth, and He shared Scriptures. And as they heard, their faith was better established, and they further believed. Not just that Christ was somebody, a great minister, a great leader, not just a great religious mover and shaker, but these men on their journey come to believe that Christ really was the Messiah because they heard. Church, it really is not just about hearing, but it's truly about applying. Amen? It's about hearing it and then applying it to your heart and applying it to your life and allowing it to open your eyes for what it really is. Not only did Christ seek these men out, not only did He open their eyes, but we see on their journey that He revealed Himself unto them. So as He shared these things and as they got closer to Emmaus where they were going, Christ basically said He was going to continue on in His journey. And these men basically, you know, talked Him in and wanted Him to come and fellowship. They said, "You know, the day is far spent. Would you not come and fellowship with us
a little longer. So Christ came. He fellowshiped with him. It says that he broke bread with him. And in that moment, they were revealed who that Christ really was. It really is that simple. The journey is really not that different. You know, we go through life hearing about who He is, maybe even reading about who He is, maybe even expressing that we know about who He is. But in that one moment, in that one season, like that, we realize and we recognize who Christ really is. Maybe you're at a point in your life where Christ has never been revealed to you truly. Heard about, read about, seen about, but you never really known. You've never really recognized like these men in that moment and in that instance recognized who that Christ was. If you've never recognized who that Christ was, if you've never known Christ for who He was, I would encourage you today, don't put anything in front of you coming and knowing and recognizing and accepting and inviting Him into your heart and into your life. There is nothing else that I'd rather do this morning than share with you how that Christ can open up your eyes, how that He can open up your heart, how that He can open up your mind and change everything about you, change everything about your home, change everything about your situation, because that's who He is and that's what He can do. And I can take you to Scripture throughout the Word of God that can prove that He is that man and that He has that ability. If you're never recognized, if you've never known it, never accepted, would you not come this morning inviting Him into your heart? The last thing that we see in this story, and we'll get ready to close and close quickly, is this. Is not only did Jesus reveal of Himself, but we also know that Jesus moves us to share. Anytime throughout the Scripture that we see a great working and a great doing of Christ, it's almost always linked with a call to action. With a call to action. When Christ ascended into heaven, He didn't just say, "Well, guys, this is the end. Here I go." When He ascended into heaven, He gave unto His disciples a call to action. He said, "Go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." He says, go there in order to make disciples out of men. He says, go there to baptize them. Bring them into the fellowship of the church. And He says, teach them all things as I have taught you. He gave a call to action. When they recognized, when they knew, when they understood, He gave them a call to action. He gave them something to do. Why? Because that something to do is a part of the greatest plan that has ever been set forth in the world. A plan of salvation. A plan of the gospel ministry. Jesus moves us to share. When Christ comes into your heart and He comes into your life and He helps you to recognize, when He opens up your eyes, when He seeks you out, He seeks you out for a purpose, and that is to move you to share. To move you to do. Maybe you know who He is. Maybe you recognize Him. You've invited Him into your heart and your life, but you've never answered the call to share. We're all called to share differently. We're not all called to preach. We're not all called to be Sunday school teachers. We're not all called to be evangelists and missionaries. But we all are called to share. Maybe your sharing is so localized. Maybe it's nothing more than to share in your community, to share with your friends, to share with your workmates, to share with your family, to share with people that you encounter here at church, that you encounter in your community, share with people that you encounter at your business, wherever it might be, whatever the case may be, God is calling you to share. And that's a part of having our eyes opened, amen? I encourage you, take a walk with Christ. Have your eyes open. He's seeking you. He wants to open your eyes. He wants to reveal Himself to you. And He wants to call you into the fold. He wants you to come and to work and to labor together. As our praise and our worship team comes, as we get ready to close out this time of preaching, I ask that if you are here, maybe you've never invited Christ into your heart, maybe you've never known Him personally, maybe He's never truly been revealed to your heart. Maybe today the Lord is revealing Himself to you. Maybe the Lord is speaking boldly and clearly to you that you need to be saved. Speaking to you, telling you that you need to come and open up your heart to Him as He's opening up your eyes. You come this morning. I'd love to share with you how that you might be saved. Maybe you're here and you know Christ. You have a relationship with Him. The relationship's less than what you want it to be. It's been a difficult time. It's been a difficult year. Things have happened. There's been trials. There's been tribulation. There's been loss. There's been so many things that have just stood in the way of you having your eyes open to what God wants you to do. Would you not come this morning? There's no greater place than to come than this altar to seek His face and to seek His strength. You respond this morning. However the Lord is speaking to you, I'd love to share with you. Love to pray with you as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we move now from this time of preaching, we come now to this time of response. Lord, I pray with earnesty that if there's somebody here who's never known You, Lord, I pray that they'll come give their heart and their life to You. Lord, I know that Your Spirit is already working on hearts. And Lord, I'll leave it at that. Lord, I'll leave it for the unctioning and the call of the Spirit to draw people nigh. Lord, I pray that the Spirit will draw them to come and pray. Lord, maybe they know You. They just need strength. Lord, they need the power, the help, and the ability to overcome. Maybe they're going through difficult seasons and times within their life. Lord, Father, I pray that they'll come and they'll lay it on You at the foot of Your cross, lay it at the altar. Lord, I pray they come and trust in You and You alone. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.